Ask a couple people around you, have they ever been shocked by electricity? And explain how or what happened, okay? I walked into the bathroom. There was a nightlight on. Reached over for the nightlight. I don't know why, I just felt like I was going to grab the nightlight. I grabbed the nightlight, but for whatever reason, this nightlight didn't have like a plastic shield around it. It had exposed metal on the sides. So I grab it really good, and it keeps shaking. And I'm like, I got totally zapped by like, whatever, 110 volts that runs through your house. And I was like, it was like hard to let go. I did not shortly forget that experience. It does. Funnier true story. Am I allowed to tell stories on my sister? I know she hasn't been feeling well, but I'm going to tell a funny story about her anyway. It involves a squirrel, an outlet, and a telephone. Doesn't this sound good so far? Okay. So you guys know, like, early on, like when you're in kindergarten, not to put anything in an outlet, right? Yeah, cool. Sweet. All right, so my sister's on the phone. It was back in the day when phones had cords. Okay, so she could only walk, you know, in a certain amount of distance from the wall. And she's distracted, right, on the phone. I don't know why, she found a brad. You know what a brad is? It's like a little copper thing that you can stick through paper and bend the ends. Have you ever had like a file or folder that you can just bend the two prongs and it keeps your papers in your folder? Okay, I don't know why, she's on the phone, she's distracted. Okay, takes the brad, bends it. Yeah, I don't know how, but a squirrel had come down our chimney and runs like through the house. She's like, I'm like, shorts out all the power in the house, and her fingers burned like with the mark, and she dropped it on the linoleum, and the linoleum melted like it was so hot. So, and she was in high school. So, funny story about my sister, Julie. Julie, I love her to pieces, but sometimes we get distracted, don't we? In life, we get distracted? Yeah, it's good. All right, so we're starting a new series this fall called Wired, and we're going to talk a whole bunch over the next couple weeks about what we're wired to and what we're wired for. So today is we're wired for relationship. And I thought it'd be good if we started with this whole idea of wire. I thought it'd be good if we started with electricity. We've got a whole lit-up board over here that spells wired with wires. And I was wondering, I don't know if you guys are like this, but I was pretty young when I learned about electricity. And one of the ways I learned about electricity was from my dad. And my dad and I had an electric train set. It was given to him when he was a kid. He saved it for me. So when I was like 8, 9, 10, he gave me his old set. And it was pretty elaborate. I mean, you could fill up a pretty big space with this electric train set. And so I learned about electricity because we had to wire all the track, and we had to wire all the little lights to go in all the little houses, and then wire it all back to different switches so the train could take on different courses around the track, and then wire it all to the transformer. So I learned about positive and negative and wire, and about getting them crossed and making sparks and getting it all connected right. And I learned about, why doesn't my train go? And so we would have to troubleshoot often about why the train wouldn't go. Was it the connection on the train? Was it the track? Was the track dirty? Was the wires disconnected, misconnected? What was the problem? So I wanted to give you guys a quick lesson in electricity basics, all right? So you probably know some of this, but we'll take a look in case you don't. So this would be what is called an open circuit, right? So you've got a power source. We've got a Duracell battery there. And from that battery, we're going to go to the switch, right? So the switch. And you can see the switch is open. It's not connected to the metal. And then the red wire goes to one side of the light bulb, and then another wire comes out the other side and goes to back to the battery. So this is the negative. This is the positive. Okay. And right now, that is an incomplete circuit. Why is it incomplete? The switch isn't touching the metal. So open circuit means the light is off, doesn't work. Okay, and you can have open circuits for a lot of different reasons. You can go, hey, why doesn't the lights in the house work? Or why doesn't, the battery, or is there a battery problem? Or is there a wire problem? Or is there some other issue? Or is the switch broke? Okay. All right, here's what a closed circuit looks like, right? So the switch is down, and right there, and the light is on. So if I go back and forth, oh, sorry, we can go back. Beep, 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 beep. See, there it's working, right? I know, modern animation. You love that, don't you? Yeah. Okay. How many of you are like, yeah, that's pretty simple. I knew that already. Good. Okay? Good. All right, so let's look at a blocked circuit. If something is in the way or not connected right, if we look over here where it says no circuit, you've got the wires going to the light, and then, look, a wad of paper. Wow, because that's what would really happen. A wad of paper is stuck between the light bulb and the battery. They call that an insulator. So it could be something is in the way, something is blocking the flow of electricity from getting to the light bulb, right? So over here, you got the connected one. Look, a little piece of metal, metal paper clip makes that circuit work. So you got the difference between a conductor, which would be something like metal, and an insulator, which would be something like either that water paper or a piece of rubber or something that doesn't conduct electricity. Here's an interesting question, though. Which one are you? Are you a conductor or an insulator? We're going to end up talking and turning this analogy from electricity into something spiritual. We've got some spiritual connection with God. So give that some thought. Are you a conductor or insulator? All right, so how many of you guys have ever had a flashlight that you had batteries in and left it like for too long, and then you open it up and the batteries are like corroded? And like in this one, yeah, okay. So this one, like the batteries like kind of exploded in there, and then they got all corroded and the spring's all rusty and gross and got green junk on it. So you got corrosion. That could be another problem, another reason why you would have a blocked or a bad circuit. Or you got a bad contact. It just doesn't make a good connection between the battery and the metal. How many of you guys have a family that's got like a hitch or a trailer? You guys ever pull stuff with a trailer or got a car that pulls something with a trailer? Whether it's like a boat or a camper or something like that. When I was growing up, my dad had a boat, and we would often take it out to the lake. But inevitably, when it, like springtime came, it was time to take the boat out again. We'd back the trailer up, and we'd connect it to the back of the car or the back of the truck, and the taillights on the trailer wouldn't work. And so we'd have to figure out why isn't it working. A lot of times it's either a ground issue or, like, you know the ball where the hitch goes on? Sometimes ours would get rusty. And so we'd have to get out there with sandpaper, and we'd sand that thing down and then put the hitch back on, and then the taillights would work. Or maybe troubleshoot another area. So rust can do that. Corrosion can do that. Make a connection bad. Here's what God says in his word about us and what we're supposed to be doing and related to this wiring that we've got, okay? We're wired for a relationship. God made you in a specific way to have relationship with him and have relationship with each other and with the world. And so it says this in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, okay? You guys are supposed to be a light, a bright shining light, okay? Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. That would be silly. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Father, your Heavenly Father. So our lives are supposed to be a bright light. Well, sometimes I feel like I'm a really dim light or I'm not even shining very good at all. Okay? Like people could hardly tell. So I guess the question is, today, how bright are you shining? How bright are you shining for God? Well, there's some other questions you might need to ask. One, have I turned the switch on? Have I put my faith in God first? That kind of makes that connection happen. And if you've done that before, you've put your faith in God, if you're not shining bright, what's the problem? Is there an insulator in their way? Is there some corrosion in their way? Is there some stuff that's happened that is keeping you from shining maybe as bright as you could? So here is what we're going to look at. Some blocked spiritual circuit in your life, okay? So you're trying to have this connection with God. You're supposed to shine bright. Are you shining bright? If you are, awesome. If you're not, or how could you shine brighter? Maybe this first one, it's the switch. And you are the problem, okay? It's not the wiring. God wired you right. It's not the battery. God is the battery. He's got the power source for you, okay? It's you. You haven't flipped the switch. You haven't decided if you want to follow God or not. You haven't decided if you're going to put your faith in Jesus or not. And that's okay. But I urge you to say, you know what? Your life is meant to shine. It's meant to shine bright. And in order to do that, you need to make a decision to say, hey, am I going to turn it on? You can do that even tonight to say, you know what? Do you want to start a friendship, a relationship with God tonight? And I'll tell you a little bit later how you can do that. Maybe you've got a blocked spiritual circuit because you're too insulated. Okay? Maybe you've insulated yourself from people or from life, or maybe the world has hurt you, or maybe you're just in a dark place in your life, and maybe you've insulated yourself with alcohol or drugs or some other thing that's kind of being your buffer. And in doing so, you're not shining bright because there's not enough electricity flowing. Something is blocking the flow for you. Or maybe it's a short circuit, okay? If you look at this little picture here, all right, so the short, so the power is supposed to go around the red to the light bulb, but it's not. There's another wire that is short-circuiting the process, and it's going in this infinity loop, and when positive and negative together, they're going to spark, okay? So if you have a short on some electronic device, usually you get some sparks. Or if you're trying to jump start your car, and you touch the black and red together, it's going to zap. So that short circuit is not getting power to the light bulb, and it's shorting out. So maybe you've made some decisions in your life that are short-circuiting your faith. Maybe you made some choices that are short-circuiting your connection with God. The flow is being bypassed, right? And then the last one, maybe you've got some corrosion in your life, all right? The battery's there, the wiring's there, you're supposed to be shining for God, and sin and decay have crept in, all right? And making those connections all gunked up so that they don't work and so they're not shining bright. So in your life, you're going to have some time to think, hey, what are some things in my life that might be corroding my life? And then the last one, maybe it's just bad contact. They're almost touching but not quite touching, or they're intermittently touching, and maybe it's a bad contact, and basically you're just not making good contact with God. You're not getting in the Word. You're not spending time connecting with Him. You're not praying. You're not doing what you know would be good to help you connect. So raise your hand if any of those things at any point in your life have ever been an issue. Ever felt disconnected from God? Ever felt like you weren't shining as bright as you could? Okay? Or maybe you just a time in your life where you didn't even know God. All right? I think we've all had those too. Yeah, so my goal, my hope is to urge you tonight, say, you know what? Number one, God loves you, and He wants to have a relationship, a friendship with you. And He wants you to shine for Him. All right, so here's what I want to chat about for a little bit. You're wired for a relationship, not just with God, but with a whole bunch of things. So you're wired for a relationship with God. Also, you're wired for a relationship with your family. You're wired for a relationship with friends and for a relationship with other people. But there's a priority, and the God one has got to be top. And sometimes we chase other stuff first. So I want to urge you and share with you from God's word a little bit about why a relationship with God needs to be first and what God says about that. How many of you are familiar with John 3:16? Pretty famous verse. But I wonder if you kept reading, if you read 17 through 21, if you read more, we kind of get some more details about why and what and how this relationship with God looks and works. All right, so familiar verse, it goes like this: for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You guys know that. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Okay, did God just come to judge everybody and get angry and us for all feel guilty and bad? No, He came to rescue you and me. All right, verse 18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned or not judged. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Okay, now there's start to be a dividing line here. Do you guys get this? There's going to be people on the world, some that have put their faith in God and some that have not. And there's really no middle ground. You either have or you haven't put your faith in God's Son, Jesus. And he goes on to say this. This is the verdict, okay? Light has come into the world. That being Jesus, right? But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But everyone who lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done through God. You guys, there's a real spiritual dividing line. Light and dark is not just a Star Wars thing. It's a real life thing. It's a heart thing. Is your heart full of light or is it full of darkness? Well, we're born in darkness. So unless you've chosen God, then you're still in darkness. But if you've chosen God, if you put your faith in Jesus, you put your faith in God, you're in the light. And that's cool. And here's what it says. I love this little part at the end. It says, come into the light. You guys, that's my invitation to you. At the beginning of the school year, if you have never crossed the line of faith, never decided on your own that you need God, that you're a messed up person, that you do sinful stuff, that you can't pay your own way, and if you do, you're not going to go to heaven, God wants to have a friendship with you. And not just so that you get out of hell. He wants your life to be better now. He wants you to know him. You guys get that? We have a God who wants to be known by you. That's cool. There's not a lot of other religions believe that God can be known and be have an intimate friendship with people, with you and me. That's awesome. I'm going to say a prayer. If you want to do that, you can do it tonight. And it's kind of like the ABCs of faith. To admit that you have sinned and messed up and screwed up. And then B, to believe. And here's what you need to believe. Jesus was God. That he was God's son, that he died on a cross for you and for me and for the whole world, and that he rose again. He didn't stay dead. He proved he was God by rising again, and that he offers life. He offers friendship. He offers love. He offers forgiveness for all of it, you guys, all of it, all your sin, past, present, future sin, all the junk you have and will do and have already done. He wants to make you clean. And he wants to forgive you and have a friendship with you. But you got to decide, are you going to flip the switch or not? I'll be honest, following God's not easy. It comes at a cost. It costs Jesus his blood for you and me to have a friendship with him. And it might cost you some things too. It might cost you some popularity. It might cost you some friendship. It might cost you some relationship with other people. It might cost you some coolness factor. It might be hard. It may not be an easy road. But I want to invite you to it anyway because I think it's a better road. And life with God is so much better than life without him. It makes all this stuff work better. Here's another picture of it. Over here is you. And you got all your stuff in their own little shapes and boxes, right? And you're trying to organize it and figure it out. Over here, God invites you to invite him into the center of your life. And then you bring God into all those other relationships. That's why God's got to start first. The relationship with you and God starts first. And then it can go into your friendships and into your family life and into your relationship with the other people around you. But it starts with knowing him first and having him in the center. You know? All right. Did I pray? I don't think I did. Let's pray. If you want to do that, tonight is an awesome night to either renew your commitment to God or start it for the first time. Jesus, I know there are people in the room who don't know you, don't have a close relationship with you, maybe have never put their faith in you. And tonight you invite them. You say, come into the light. Come follow me. So if you want to do that, just say, Jesus, I need you. Would you please forgive me for all the bad stuff I've done and will do? I'm sorry. I'm a sinful person, but I want to follow you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again and that he wants to give me life. Jesus, would you forgive me and make me clean? Would you help me to follow you? In Jesus' name, amen. I tell you what, if you prayed that tonight, or maybe it's for the 10th time or the 100th time, or maybe it was the first time, let a friend know. Let one of your life group leaders know. That is awesome. I need that. I don't know if you're like this, but when I was your age, I was afraid it didn't count. I was afraid that when I prayed that Jesus would forgive me, that it didn't count. So I must have prayed 10 or 20 or 30 times. Did it work? Did it work? Did it work? And there's a great verse. Let me read it to you at the end of the Bible in 1 John. It's kind of for the doubters. You ever wonder if it didn't count, if it didn't work, if what you prayed didn't mean enough? Here's what 1 John has to say in 1 John 5. It says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and his life is in the Son. Where's eternal life found? I just read it to you. In the Son. Who's the Son? Jesus. Okay. Eternal life is found in Jesus. Really plain and clear. Okay. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty black and white. Here's what it goes on to say. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. In case you're wondering if it didn't work, in case you're doubting and wondering if it was really true, John's like, check it out. You put your faith in Jesus, it counted. It counted, it counted, it counted. And you can have peace and trust and know that. And I think that is awesome news, especially for me, a guy who just didn't know if it worked, who wondered if I would die, if I'd really go to heaven or not, if I'd really be forgiven or not. Love that section of scripture, and I also hate it at the same time. You know why? I have friends who have not put their faith in Jesus. And that's really clear. Those who have the Son have life. Those who do not have the Son do not have eternal life. Awesome if you have Jesus, right? Woo! Wake you up. Super sad if you don't. So it motivates me, and I hope it motivates you. You guys get out there and tell people. Tell your friends, tell your family members that there is a way to be forgiven and free. All right, so relationship with God starts first. It goes into all the other relationships, which is cool. So wired for relationship with family. How many of you struggle at times to love everyone in your family? I do, right? Sometimes we can rub each other the wrong way, right? All right, this is probably a familiar one. You guys have probably heard this one before. Check this out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, obeying mom and dad doesn't really sound like a great sell. Not so fun to do sometimes, but here, check this out. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. What happens if you follow what mom and dad say? What happens if you obey? Yes. Thank you, Leah. That it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. You guys, I know sometimes following what mom and dad want is annoying. But I can tell you this. God says in his word, your life will be better and prolonged, and you will benefit and receive a promise if you follow them. And that's just about being a kid in a family, being part of a family. But relationship with families is not just about you and your parents. Here's a great section of scripture at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. Check this out. It says, so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. Okay? Adam got to name everything. That's pretty cool. But check this out. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Adam's lonely. He doesn't have a person to connect with. He's the only human being on the planet, and he's got the animals. But God's understanding, the animals weren't enough, okay? Adam needed a person. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, check this out. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. You guys, at the beginning of the Bible, we have this relationship. This family unit is now being formed. A marriage. A marriage. A man and a woman. God designed it that way. This family relationship. Adam needed a partner. You guys, we were designed to have relationship with people. And marriage was designed to be a man and a woman together. And that's cool. It was also designed to be the family structure so that we could have kids. And that structure would have parents. That's cool. That's good. All right, so you're designed for that. And maybe someday you'll get married too. Wired for friendship. Great verse in Proverbs about friendship. I memorized this one when I was your age and shared it with some of my buddies. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity or for hard times. How many of you ever had a friend help you get through hard times? Yeah, totally, right? And Maybe you've been a friend to somebody in hard times. Yeah? Maybe so. I don't think it's a big shock to tell you guys you're wired for a relationship. I think you know that. But did you know how important it is that God's at the center of that and that he can help your friendships be better, he can help your family life be better, and he can help you reach out to others and help others as well? All right, check this out. Jesus says when he spoke to the people again in John 8, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness but have the light of life." You guys, isn't this crazy? I thought the Bible said that that we were the light, right? Well, I'm saying Jesus is the light. Well, you know what? I think Jesus is the light in us, that he comes out of us, all right? You put your faith in God, and you shine bright for God, and I think it's cool that Jesus says he's the light, and we got all these lights in this room, right? You guys ever done like a candlelight service thing or lit a candle or a flashlight when it was like totally pitch black? It's really cool, like, to see a light or a flame or a match or a candle go. Have you ever seen it, like, where it's been passed around and, like, the light grows in the room? That's pretty cool, right? And that, yeah, Christmas Eve, sure, yeah. And that's what we're supposed to be like this contagious flame of light spreading around to the people around us. You guys, it's hard for me to put into words how important you are and how loved you are by God, and how important just knowing him is, that he wants to be with you and know you and reshaping your life and your time and your structure and your priorities to make this work. You will have a better life, but it's not an easy one, but one that God will help you through. I feel like some of the ways I connect best with God are through music. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do a couple songs. One of your friends, gave me an awesome song list for tonight, so I'm looking forward to that. You ready? God, would you please help us know you better? Would you help our relationships? Would you help us grow? Would you help us be a light for you? Would you help us shine bright? God, if there are any things keeping us from shining, would you help us figure out what they are and deal with them? Whether it's turning that switch on for the first time, putting our faith in you, maybe it's some corrosion, some sin that's crept in, you could even say to God right now, God, I'm sorry for the sin of, and fill in the blank. God, would you cleanse me? Would you help me have a good connection with you? Would you help me stay connected and shine for you? God, would you help my family relationships be better? Would you help my friendships be better? And would you help me love others as well? We pray in your name. Amen.